Our first interview tonight, I'm telling you, this is really important, you guys, because I hear it so often from friends, from neighbors, from people in grocery stores or at parks. And it's kind of sad. You know, the best and worst places for first-time homebuyers in 2022, there's an article about it. And it says here, in the COVID-fueled real estate boom, home prices continue hitting new highs. Soaring values are a windfall for homeowners, but a headache for first-time homebuyers, who can be forgiven for feeling as though home ownership moves further out of reach by the week. Well, joining us to talk about this and to really take a look at what states are doing well, what cities are doing well when it comes to home buyers moving in and what they're looking for, that sort of thing. Jeff Ostrowski, I hope I said that correctly. He's from bankrate.com. He's an analyst, and he is joining us to talk about this new study that has come out. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm great, and I enjoyed your interpretation of my story there. That was better than I could have read it myself.
Well, thank you very much. This is really important that we have this right now because Americans are frustrated around the country. Those that thought, hey, I've owned a couple of homes, I can do it again. You know, I just need to make sure that the price is just right. And people are foregoing, making sure they get an inspector in to check out the house, which I think is ridiculous and kind of crazy. But here we are talking about real estate again. Remember when the mortgage crisis that happened in 2007 was a nightmare. And here we are now looking at a different type of nightmare. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're right. And I do remember those days well when we had a housing boom from 05 to 07 and then a crash. And I remember thinking, I guess we won't have to worry about affordability again. And affordability issues aren't really going to hit the U.S. housing market anymore. And instead, as you just mentioned, we've got home prices soaring and affordability is really an issue.
It's a big, huge issue, and every city is so different, right? But in the cities where we expect low prices, even those small cities, right, or small towns are finding that it just keeps going up and up. So people are saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to move, you know, down south to some little tiny suburb, and then they find out it's as expensive there. You know, so what
right.
do you do?
Yeah, and this so unlike the previous housing boom of 15 years ago, when it was really just a few cities or a few areas around the country that really were experiencing the boom, places like California and Phoenix and Las Vegas and Florida, and then really a lot of the Midwestern markets, a lot of the markets in the interior of the U.S. didn't see huge price spikes. And the opposite happened since COVID. So we've seen double-digit increases in home prices everywhere. So even in places like Cleveland and Detroit that typically hadn't seen significant appreciation in home prices. So you're right, it's happening everywhere. And of course, most workers' paychecks aren't going up by double digits. They're going up, but not that much. And so it's just really difficult for buyers, and especially for first-time buyers. So repeat buyers have the luxury of the cushion of all that equity they've built up. So it's if you're selling one house and buying another, yeah, it's not an ideal time to be buying, but you know, nobody's going to cry too many tears for somebody who just cashed in $100,000 in home price gains and they're rolling it over into another place. But for people who are renters now, it's very difficult because the home prices are at record highs. And so that it's just tougher than it's ever been to save up a down payment, to qualify for a mortgage, to clear all those hurdles you need to get over to buy a home.
All right. So then tell me, why did you decide to do the study on first time home buyers? Because to me, it looks as though we're all suffering with this, with trying to buy a home, whether you've had several homes or one home before and you owned it. It seems to be, you know, an equal balance. So why first time home buyers?
Well, a lot of it is that dynamic that I just described where I've owned my house for 20 years, or if I'm an older Gen Xer or a baby boomer, the chances are I've been living in my house for a long time, and I've really built up a lot of equity thanks to this boom here in the past few years. And so if that's my situation, I can sell, cash out, and I can take that money from the sale and use it for a down payment on the next place. But first-time buyers don't have that luxury. They don't have that cushion. And so it's just a really difficult market for them. And for people who really value homeownership, it might make sense to consider moving somewhere that's more affordable. And so that was what really was the impetus for this, that we've got a large population of millennials who are in their prime home buying years. That generation is even bigger than the baby boom. And so there are a lot of Americans out there in their late 20s and their 30s who want to buy a house and are really, you know, faced with a challenging market right now.
Well, let's jump right in, because, of course, we want to know the best and worst places for the first time home buyers for this year. Where do we start?
Well, and so best and worst, I guess, you know, might not be the most precise descriptor, even though that's what we called it. It's probably like the most challenging and least challenging markets. But so for the worst markets, it's sort of the places you'd expect. Los Angeles came in number 50 in our analysis of the 50 largest metro areas. And that's just because homes there are so unaffordable compared to incomes. At the other end of the scale, number one was Pittsburgh, and that's for the opposite reason. Homes there are very affordable in relation to incomes. And Minneapolis came in at number two among the top 50 metro areas. And it was for a combination of factors. The affordability dynamics are pretty good there. I was a little surprised to see how high incomes are in Minneapolis for the age group that we looked at. So for 25 to 44-year-olds, the median income in the Minneapolis metro area is more than $91,000 a year, according to the Census Bureau. And so that's high. I mean, that's similar to New York. That's higher than Denver or San Diego or Portland. So even though Minneapolis is not a super cheap market in raw terms, it's for people who are making a local wage, it's actually a fairly affordable market. And so that was one of the big factors. And Minneapolis also did very well in the homeownership rate among local residents ages 25 to 44. And I'm assuming that's partly because of that those high incomes for millennials and for younger Gen Xers in your metro area.
Yeah. You know, I'm curious about Kansas. They have grown a lot over the years, over the last three decades for sure. And I'm just curious, where did they land in this?
Let's see. So Kansas City?
Mm-hmm.
All right,
The Kansas City metro area ranked number one in market tightness or lack thereof in this category.
Correct.
What does that mean?
Okay, so the market tightness was just a way of measuring how difficult it's going to be for a buyer looking for a house in any given market. So we just looked at a couple of metrics. One is days on market, so how quickly homes are selling. And then another metric around just how long it takes to buy a home. I'm drawing a blank on which other metric we used. It was the inventory. So change in inventory over the past year. And so Kansas City was really the softest market. As you were just describing, we've got a crazy market nationally where buyers are being forced to do all these things like waive inspection contingencies, waive appraisal contingencies. And so this ranking, we looked at these two metrics to just figure out where buyers might be least likely to face those kinds of challenges. And so Kansas City was the easiest market for buyers. Minneapolis was sort of in the middle of the pack. It's just a tough market everywhere. Basically, in every metro area in the country, there's a shortage of supply and more buyers than there are sellers.
I'm a little surprised to see Buffalo on here. It says the metro area placed in the top 10 in affordability and housing market tightness. So once again, tightness. And when you look at that, the people in Buffalo, are they making enough to buy to purchase the homes?
Yeah, they are. And it's not that in the case of Buffalo, it's a sort of a different story from Minneapolis. So it's not that incomes are quite as high among young adults in Buffalo as they are in Minneapolis, but Buffalo home prices are just really low. And so that was a driver for Pittsburgh, for Buffalo. Just very low prices. The median home price in the first quarter of this year for Buffalo was $185,000, whereas in Minneapolis it was $325,000. And so in a few of these markets, you know, places like St. Louis and Cleveland and Detroit and Louisville and Birmingham, Alabama, Memphis as well. I mean, those are all very inexpensive markets. And so for somebody who's really struggling to afford a house, maybe one of those metro areas would be a place to consider.
Let's quickly talk about the bottom five metros for first-time homebuyers. I mean, I was so surprised to see Seattle on here.
Yeah, Seattle has had an extreme shortage of housing. It's one of the tech markets on the West Coast where the prices have just soared because you've got a small number of very high-paid workers, people working at Microsoft and Amazon and other tech companies who are cashing in stock options, and they want to live there in a tech hub. And so those folks have the ability to pay, and so that's one of the markets where home prices are just really being bid up because of the strength of the local tech economy. And it's kind of a similar situation in Silicon Valley and in San Francisco as well.
You know, trying to get a mortgage has been such a challenge for so many people because the game has changed. The game has changed. And it feels as though most people that are really trying, and I would say the middle class, that keep trying to buy a house, but they know that since the rules have changed, like, oh, well, you have great credit and, oh, you sound great, but, you know, you really need to get a better job and maybe make a little more money for about 2 or 4 years, and then we can talk about this. I mean, you start to hear these things, knowing from, like, even bankers, it's like, how in the world are we ever going to get ahead when trying to find a home?
Well, yeah, that's the challenge of this big run-up we've had in home prices over the past 2 years. I mean, not that it was easy to qualify for a mortgage before COVID, but I mean, we've had 20% a year home price appreciation for a couple of years now, and incomes just haven't gone up that much, especially for first-time buyers. And so it's just it's gotten really tough for buyers to qualify. I mean, there are programs like the FHA loan, the Federal Housing Administration mortgage program, that does allow borrowers to qualify with just 3.5% down and with the credit scores as low as maybe 630 or 640. So that is an option, but of course the income challenge that you mentioned isn't going to be solved by an FHA loan, because if you just don't have enough income to qualify, you're still not going to qualify. So that's part of the reason that we did this study, just to help people have a little more information about where they might be able to go to stretch their housing dollar a bit farther and hopefully boost their chances of qualifying for a mortgage.
Last question. If they don't get to buy homes, then what happens? What happens to people? The rent is severely high in many of these cities that you've talked about. So where do we go next? How do we know where to turn in order to get a loan?
Right. So, the rent is a huge challenge, and that's really feeding into this affordability crisis, because if your rent's going up 15% to 20% a year, that's really eroding your ability to save for a down payment and just get your finances in order to be able to buy. I would say that homeownership is not the only way to economic security, but it is a very important part for most Americans. It's a way to build wealth and to have some certainty around your month-to-month and year-to-year housing expenses. There's a very long answer to that question, but I guess the short answer would be it's very difficult in high-priced markets. It can be done, though, by cobbling together some things like down payment assistance, first-time homebuyer assistance, And then looking for some workarounds, like, you know, maybe buying a fixer up or being willing to move farther out and maybe have a longer commute.
Well, the fixer-uppers are even way more expensive than I think they should be. So there we go. But Jeff Ostrosko, thank you so much for joining us tonight. He's with Bankrate.com. He's an analyst, and he is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you so much, Jeff. I hope we can talk with you again.
Great. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, everyone. I learned a lot, and it's quite a study if you get a chance to check it out. I'm going to see if I can find that link where you can get this, because it's really quite remarkable what is happening.